chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, if you find your place there, verse 31. And when you found your place there, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's word. Tonight's message, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for the entire world. We're excited about that tonight. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for the entire world. And that's great news for us Gentiles, but it was first to the Jew. The gospel was intended to go to the Jew first. The Jews were God's chosen people, and he intended for them to be a nation of priests that would take his message to the world. That was always his intention. But they were not faithful. They were not obedient. Therefore, God was not able to use them the way that he wanted to. By the way, you have free will. God wants to use you to get the gospel to the world. He wants you to use you to get the gospel to your world. You and I, maybe we can't reach the whole world, but we can reach our world. And he wants to do that, but you have free will. And it's up to you to yield to him, to give your life to him, to be used of him. But Jesus Christ had a heart for Jerusalem. He had a heart for the city of God. He had a heart for the people of God. And he wanted them to come to him. He wanted to gather them together, to love them, and to give himself to them, and for them to love him in return and live for him. But they, as a whole, refused him. And what we see tonight is a very tragic truth in the scriptures. But tonight we see, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Verse 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me, until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please give us a right understanding of your word tonight. We would divide your scriptures, divide the truth rightly tonight. Pray that you'd help me to preach by the power of your spirit. I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, that tonight we would have a heart to be gathered together unto you. Lord, that we would willingly and hasten to come to you, to be gathered near to you, to be gathered near and loved by you and grow with you and be your people. Lord, tonight give us a heart for those among us and around us who don't know you. Help us to have the heart of our Savior Jesus Christ for the lost. And Lord, just make this a soul-winning church. Please help me now, for I'm nothing without you. I pray that you would bless and your spirit would move. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. In this series of messages that we've had the past several weeks, you'll find that the Jews had snubbed Jesus. They ignored him. He came with his message and they just kind of snubbed him. They looked down their Pharisaical noses literally at him. They sneered at him. They mocked our Savior. They ridiculed him and they treated him with no respect. They snubbed him, they sneered at him, they slandered him. These are the same group of people that have said that he cast out devils by the devil. I mean, these people had slandered the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and they had tried everything they could to make him go away. They tried everything they could to make his message go away. And it's an astounding thing to me to see how much the Pharisees hated Jesus. What is it that they hate? They hate the fact that he made blind people able to see? I mean, did they hate that he cured leprosy? Did they hate that he made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the mute to speak? Did they hate the fact that he spake with such gracious words that people were amazed at his understanding of the scripture? What was it they hated?
They hated that he threatened their position. They hated that he threatened their power. They hated that he threatened their prestige. They hated that he threatened their traditions of men. And I just want you to know today that there's a world around us that hates Jesus. They snub him. They sneer at him. They slander him. There are people today who hate our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want to warn you and take warning myself that we don't turn away the Lord, because if we're not careful, we can be like the Pharisees. We can be afraid to be obedient to the word of the Lord. We can be afraid to obey his commandments because it might cost us some of our traditions or some of our position or some of our pleasures. And so we've got to be careful that we listen to him and obey him day by day. Today, when they were not able to get rid of him in the other ways they tried, now they're going to try to scare him. This is an unexpected warning. The Pharisees. One of the Pharisees comes to Jesus and says, "Get out. Get away from here. Herod's going to kill you." Now, you can debate with me about this later if you'd like to. Could it be that this was a certain Pharisee that loved Jesus and was really concerned for his well-being? Could it be that this was one of the secret disciples that had heard something through the grapevine and heard that Herod was out to get Jesus and wanted to get him away and get him to safety? I suppose that's possible, but I submit to you tonight, I think it's far more likely that this Pharisee was just trying to do anything he could to get Jesus to go away. We just want him to go away. We've made fun of him, we've mocked him, we've slandered him, we've scorned him, and he won't go away, so maybe we can scare him away. Maybe if we tell Jesus that Herod's out to get him, he'll run away. I think their purpose was to try to scare the Lord away. But I want you to know something about our Savior tonight. He's not afraid. Who's he going to be afraid of? I mean, he spoke the universe into existence. The ones who hated him couldn't touch him unless he allowed them to. Pilate warned Jesus during his false trials. Pilate said, "Don't you know I have power to kill you?" Jesus said, "You'd have no power at all if my Father didn't give you power." Listen, he wasn't afraid of Pilate. He wasn't afraid of the high priest. He wasn't afraid of the Pharisees. He wasn't afraid of anything or anyone. They weren't going to scare Jesus away. They weren't going to scare him at all. Jesus had this unexpected warning come, but Jesus had an unwavering plan. He had an unwavering purpose. Look at verse 32. "Go ye and tell that fox." Anybody else like that? I love it. Man, there's just little things in the Bible that I just love. "Go tell his royal highness Herod." No. "Go tell that ruler of the people." No. "Go tell that fox." You see, Jesus knew exactly what Herod was, and he knew exactly what he was all about, and he knew exactly what his character was. He was no better than a fox. A trickster, a liar, one who would prey on others. "Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Now, I want you to know tonight that when you look at scriptures, there are times when you have to take what's said very literally. You have to take it very literally. This is one of those times when we can't take it very literally, because we're going to see as we continue our study that it wasn't 3 days until Jesus was perfected, but he was saying, "I have a purpose to do, and I've got business to do, but then I'm going to come a day that I'm going to be perfected. I'm going to accomplish what I came to do." You know, take this literally. This day and that day, 1, 2, 3. But Jesus said, "I've got business to do. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to do cures. But when the day comes, I'm going to be perfected. I'm going to accomplish the work that my Father sent me to do." He reiterates it in verse 33. "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." Jesus said, "I've got business to take care of. I got business to take care of over here, but I will come back it's worded a little different for us, but Jesus is saying the prophets die at Jerusalem. There's a couple of meanings to this. Jesus was letting them know, you can go tell Herod that I've got business to do. You're not going to kill me until I'm ready to die. I'm not going to die until it's time for me to die. And I will die at Jerusalem. So I'm going to go do my business, and you're not going to be able to touch me until it's time. So there's a message here that it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. In other words, the prophets died in Jerusalem. And so there's the meaning that Jesus would come back there to die. He had a plan, friends. He had a purpose. And Herod couldn't keep him from his purpose. The Pharisees couldn't keep him from his purpose. The Jews, who would at times get so infuriated with Jesus, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. They couldn't touch Jesus until it was time. You see, he always had a purpose. He always did those things that pleased his Father. I want you to know, friends, we ought to be thankful today that Jesus was unwavering in fulfilling his purpose. You realize that the devil fought every step of the way against Jesus. We often talk about the temptation of Christ, that the devil took him into the wilderness and he tempted him. If you think that's the only time Jesus was tempted, you don't understand your Bible at all. Listen, the devil left him for a time, but he came back, I promise you. We don't have all the records, but Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And the devil fought him every step of the way, and the Jews fought him every step of the way, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then later the Roman government. And all along the way, the devil and his people have been against Jesus. And even today, they fight against Jesus, but he will always fulfill his purposes. Today, people, they'll snub you because you stand up for Jesus. They'll sneer at you. They'll scorn you because you stand up for Jesus. And there's a great push in our culture today to scare you out of standing up for Jesus. But I want to tell you, if God be for you, then who could stand against you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God's on your side, then why would you fear what man can do to you? We have a culture war going on in America today, and as those tried to scare Jesus out of fulfilling his purpose, there are those who would scare you out of fulfilling God's purpose in your life. And I want to tell you, you have no reason to be afraid today. Hey, what's the worst that could happen? We live in the United States of America. What's the worst that can happen? They're going to take away our tax-free status. Church will have to start paying taxes. Are we going to bow down to what the government says so we can avoid paying taxes? Are we going to bow down to what the government says so we can avoid paying taxes? All right, four or five of us aren't. What about the rest of you people? What's the worst that could happen? They're going to give you a ticket for preaching the gospel in a public area? What's worse that could happen? They're going to end up throwing you in jail? This is the United States of America, but I'm telling you, friends, those days may be coming, but so what? What's the worst that could happen? What if it gets so bad here? We got some people in our country that want to turn this into a socialistic, communist country. So what if we end up being like Soviet Russia? What if we end up being like communist China? What if it's against the law to preach the gospel? What if you throw you in jail? What if they put you in a work camp somewhere where you freeze to death in just a matter of days or weeks or months? What if you die for the gospel's sake? That's all they can do. The very worst they can do is kill you and send you to heaven. Listen, if you're a child of God, the world can't scare you with death. It's not much of a threat. They tried to scare Jesus. They try to scare you today. Jesus Christ had an unwavering plan. He had an unwavering purpose. And I just want to remind us tonight that you and I, as children of God, as members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, we have a purpose. God has given us a plan. He's given us a prescription to follow. And we ought to have an unwavering purpose in our lives to do the work that the Lord's called us to do. The commission that he gave some 2,000 years ago is the same commission that we have today. We're to go and preach the gospel to the world. And they don't want us to, but we shouldn't be afraid. We should go and preach the gospel. And when people get saved, we ought to baptize them. Just like we did this morning. And we ought to help people to grow so that they can observe to do all things that Christ commanded. And we shouldn't waver. Some of the young people in this room today have a hard time living for Jesus at school because it's not cool to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you, you ought to stand up for Jesus no matter what your friends say. You shouldn't be afraid. They tried to scare Jesus, but he said, I've got a work to do. I must, he said. I must walk today. I must walk tomorrow. I must do what my Father sent me to do. Verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as an hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. I got news for you. Those prophets that were sent to Jerusalem, Jesus is the one that sent them. You see, when I was first growing up and studying the scriptures, I always thought that this was just Jesus saying personally right now in his earthly ministry, how many times I would have just gathered you up. But as you study, you see that it's not. He's not just talking about at that moment in his physical earthly ministry, but for year and year and decade and century, he had sent the prophets and he had sent the prophets. He had sent the prophets the whole time. That was Jesus trying to gather Jerusalem to himself. All along the way, every step of the way, that was Jesus. When he sent the prophets to them and said, come. When Jeremiah kept going back and preaching and pleading with the people over and over and over again, that was Jesus that sent him. That was Jesus. When he said, thus saith the Lord, that was Jesus. It was his word. It was his heart for Jerusalem. It was his passion for them that he wanted to bring them unto himself. And he was just continuing what he had always done. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Do you see the heart that Jesus Christ had for his people to come to himself? Hey, that mother hen, I mean, we still use that phrase today when some of you have never even seen a live chicken. Oh, she's just a little mother hen. I mean, we still use that. Some people today never even seen a live chicken. They don't even know what that means. You got to go to the zoo to see a chicken. You think I'm joking, but I'm telling you, there are people right here in Muldrow who have never seen a live chicken. You got to go out in the country like to Vian to see that. Vian used to have a chicken that lived in town. I believe they called him Rocky Bobby. It was a sad day when we stopped seeing Rocky Bobby. But somebody probably had good dinner that night. That mother hen, little chicks running around. Any kind of danger comes along, she'll cluck, 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 and those babes will come running, those little chicks will come running, and she'll gather them right up around her. When it's time to rest at night, they'll get up there in the coop and that mother hen will gather those chicks around her. Keep them warm, protect them. She gets them right up against her. Friends, that's what Jesus wanted to do with Jerusalem. You understand that's what he's done for you. I mean, he's gathered us to himself. He's brought us right here. I love reading John. John always talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you haven't figured it out yet, that was him. He was talking about himself. He didn't like to say me. He didn't like to say I. He didn't like to say John. He said the disciple whom Jesus loved. He understood that was him. That's a beautiful thing. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And in our macho culture today, we don't get this, but he would lay his head on Jesus' chest. He loved Jesus and he was close to Jesus. And friends, that's what he wants to do with you and me. He wants us to be close to him. And he had this passion for Jerusalem. He said, I've been trying to reach you I've been sending the prophets and you keep killing them. I can sending the prophets and you keep stoning them. I would gather you to myself, but ye would not. I thank God tonight for everybody that's here that's put their faith in Christ, because he wanted you to come to himself. He wanted to bring you into himself, and you would. You made a choice. You made a choice to turn away from your sin and to come to Jesus. You made a choice to let go of everything else and run to Jesus. You made a choice to let him wrap you in his arms. By faith, you came to him. And that's what he wanted to do with Jerusalem. That was his heart for them. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I know that Jesus was an emotional man. I know that he wept. We read that. I submit to you tonight that one verse, when Lazarus died and Jesus wept, I don't think that that was the only time Jesus wept. These people are trying to scare Jesus off. These people hate him. They just want to be rid of him. But I believe that you could hear the pain in his voice when he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." I believe there may have been tears in his eyes when he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." I believe that it broke the Lord's heart because he knew. Friends, don't you realize that he felt it when those prophets were stoned? Don't you realize that he felt it when they killed them? And not just the death of his saints that he loved, but the rejection of those people that he loved and wanted to save, and they wouldn't come to him. Ye would not. I thank God for those who would, but friends, there are people all around us who would not. What was it that kept them from coming? Why did they reject the prophets? Why did they stone them? Why did they kill the prophets instead of coming to the truth? Why did they reject the messengers of God and the message of God? We could go down the list of sins, but at the end of the day, that's it. In a word, it's sin, and I believe at the top of the list is pride. It's pride that keeps men and women from coming to Christ. It's pride. It was the pinnacle of sin that brought Lucifer to his rebellion against God, was his pride, and it's the same thing that keeps us from coming to God today. It's what kept Jerusalem from coming to God. But friends, I want you to get this. You have a choice. Jerusalem had a choice. You and I have a choice. We knocked on some people's door today to present them with a choice. To let them know that they have broken God's law, and the penalty for breaking God's law is eternal damnation, but that God loved them so much that Jesus Christ paid that debt for them, so they have a choice. They can choose to turn from their sin to God. They can choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, believing in Jesus is a choice. Repenting and trusting him is a choice. And Jerusalem had a choice. We have a choice. But friends, I plead with you today to just consider the heart that Jesus had for Jerusalem, how it broke his heart. And would to God that he gave us that kind of heart for Muldrow. When you talk to young men like we did today, when you warn them of the judgment to come and you ask them if they're concerned about the fact that they would end up in hell, they readily admit, "Yeah, I've broken those commandments. Yeah, I understand that I would go to hell." Does that concern you? Not really. Friends, that breaks my heart. And it's not a rare thing. It's all around us. God, give us a heart that says, "Oh, Muldrow, Muldrow. Jesus wants to gather you unto himself. He loves you so much. He died for you." That we would have a heart for them, that we would plead with them to come to Christ. I've heard people sing, I've heard people pray that God would break our hearts for what breaks his, and we need that. Verse 35. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." You see, Jerusalem thought they had it all. They were the city of God, the people of God, the descendants of Abraham. They had the law of Moses, therefore they thought they had it all. And he said, you have nothing. Because you have rejected me, you have nothing. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Like many prophecies in Scripture, I believe there's multiple fulfillments of this. We know that on what many people today call Palm Sunday, when Jesus came in to Jerusalem and he came riding on that donkey, that foal, that they put their garments in the way and they put the palm branches down and they cried out, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so there was that fulfillment that he came, but I want you to know there's going to be an ultimate fulfillment. Psalm 118:26, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. There is going to come a day when Jesus is going to come again to Jerusalem. And I want to tell you, the next time Jesus comes to Jerusalem, it's going to be a sad day for those people who rejected him. Your house is desolate. Your religion is just good enough to get you to hell. Your faith in your law, your faith in your works, your faith in your lineage, your faith in your heritage has given you nothing. You know where we're at today without Jesus? We're desolate. Desolate. See, I submit to you tonight that the Word of God is a precious thing. The gospel is everything for us. The truth of the Word of God and the Scriptures are vital. The doctrines that we hold so dear are incredibly important, but they will leave us desolate if we don't have Christ. If you have Christ, you have everything. And if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Jesus had this incredible heart for Jerusalem. I don't know about you and I, or about you, but for me, I think about Jesus. I try to imagine what that was like from heaven. He gave the word to those prophets, and he sent them. We see in the New Testament, he gives us those parables, how he had a vineyard, and he went to a far country, and he sent his servants to go and get his harvest, and they killed the servants. You know what that was? It's a picture of Israel killing the prophets. So what does he say? I know, they wouldn't honor my servants, but they'll honor my son. I'll send my son and they'll honor him. But they kill the son. But has it ever occurred to you that that wasn't a surprise for God? He knew they'd kill the prophets, but he sent them anyway because he loved them. And he knew that they would kill his son, but he sent him anyway because he loves them. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. May God give us the heart of Christ for our community, and not for Muldrow only, but for the whole world. May God give us a heart of compassion that it breaks our heart to see people, and we have our greatest desire is to see them gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.